B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I personally think this is the biggest regular season game that I could think of ever right now for the Patriots in the last 10 years. You even go back farther than that. It hasn't been since 2000 that they've been 2-4. So to be 2-3, I mean, that's a place they've never been. 2-4, I don't even know what it would be like to be in that building at 2-4. And I can tell you this, this is a big week for the Pats.
Former Patriot Rob Ninkovich on ESPN this morning saying biggest regular season game for the Patriots in over 10 years. So we're talking about it on Agenda Free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to your phones, as promised, on everything. John in Connecticut, has been waiting patiently on the Pats. Go ahead, John.
So after hearing Belichick's, day-to-day comments, I'm kind of surprised that no reporters actually kind of went back at him and said, well, Bill, is that what we should expect or assume this is what you've done with a quarterback situation in the past 2 to 3 years now? Knowing that you're going to get Brady out of here, what was your plan exactly?
Well, no one's going to do that on the conference call, John, but it's a fact. They botched the quarterback transition.
Yeah, the only problem is he's probably the least to blame of anyone.
Yeah, maybe so.
Right? I mean, he had the plan.
Well, that's a different way of putting it.
They had the guy.
I know that came out just like that, didn't it? Well, so look, okay, but let's make this about Belichick, okay, versus Jimmy G. Bill was the one who wanted to move on.
Yep.
Bill was the one who had the thing set up. And so the owner obviously didn't want him to go that route, and then the quarterback turned his back on the organization, if you want to paint it as such.
But Bill was wrong because look at the way that the quarterback is still playing.
I don't think that works. I hate this argument, Murray. I've said this. Why is it that when a guy comes and plays here, people say Belichick will get the most out of him?
Well, hold on. You're talking about Brady.
He's talking about Brady.
I thought you were talking about Garoppolo.
I think I ever think of that bum. No, I'm talking about Brady. If he just could have lightened up and given them a real deal, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He'd still be
okay,
here.
Okay, it's not Bill's call.
How come the owner didn't overrule him on that one?
The owner handles the quarterback contracts.
I don't know. I still put it on Bill.
I mean, Bill could have, Bill could have committed to it more than he did because I do think Bill got off on sticking it to Brady.
Definitely.
Okay, fine. You're going to get in the way of my plan. I'm going to make your life a little tougher too.
Robert could have signed him to an extension just like he signed Bledsoe to an extension and all that. It might have cost him Belichick, but it was within Kraft's power. The mistake. Whether you don't like Garoppolo, if you like Murray and you don't like Garoppolo, the mistake then was not extending Brady in 2018 when they, 2017 when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo.
Agreed. My only point was I think of all the people involved, Bill was the least to blame. That's all. I'm not saying zero, Murray. I'm saying the least. Because Brady didn't handle it great either. You're chirping in the owner's ear about where's my loyalty. I thought you guys were going to trade Jimmy in the spring. You haven't given me a contract extension. Then they trade Garoppolo and 6 months later he says I'm out. I mean, come on. To me, that is sort of turning your back on the organization, too.
The only thing they couldn't be was in no man's land, and that's what it feels like they are. And this is now just, I've arrived here after Newton had the last couple of weeks that he's had, and it's apparent that Stidham is not making the progress that we thought he was going to make. I mean, the offseason, without being at camp or seeing any preseason games, just going on what's being reported, and what's being reported is that this is the guy. And this is so that's fine. If you let Garoppolo go, you don't re-sign Brady. Now you've got Stidham, the next guy. Okay, there's a plan. There's a succession plan. You've nailed it. But if the kid can't play, and if Newton doesn't stay here for 2-3 years, and you're what this offseason casting about again? Unacceptable. No, I'm sorry. That's botching the transition.
They don't have a plan right now, which is so un-Belichickian. It's not even funny.
Jack in Attleboro on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jack.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the roster. They need to go out and get an ace because we don't know how Sale's going to be next year. And Erod has a heart problem, and if Wally can't stay healthy, and I'm nervous when Barnes comes in for a closer role. So I'll hang up.
Okay, number one need for the Red Sox this offseason.
Front end starting pitching. I mean, I I'm not shedding any light on anything that everyone doesn't know. I'm not that worried about the bullpen because I think that Heimblum's methods can work in the bullpen. You know, there's a bunch of guys in Tampa I've never heard of, and they have one of the best bullpens in baseball. So that one I do think you can manage around. The starting pitching thing, what are you going to do? Bullpen, you know, the opener at 5 days a week? They're porked. They have no starting pitching. They got to go get a starter.
Jeff in New Hampshire. Hi, what do you got? Jeffrey. Yes, I know you've been on hold a long time. Thank you for hanging on. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to make a comment about what is it with Josh McDaniels? It seems like he always gets a pass on this stuff, and we don't. I mean, and maybe I miss it when you guys talk about it. But what's the deal with Josh? I wanted to get some feedback from you guys on that.
Well, tell me what your problem is with him.
Well, I mean, it seems like Belichick always catches the blame for the offense on the team, and it just seems like we don't spend a lot of time talking about what Josh's game plan or lack of preparedness, and we always kind of hang that stuff on Bill.
Well, because we give Bill all the credit, I think it's fair to go to him when things aren't going well.
Well, Bill's a control freak. He runs everything there.
So, I mean, it's just clean.
But I will say, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't love the play calling in the Denver game last week. Now, you want to go back to the week before in Kansas City, I'll put that on Hoyer before I put it on McDaniels. But in the Denver game, even if that play that I asked Greg Bedard about earlier in the week, where they had a 2nd and 9, and, two guys ran deep down the field, and there were two tight ends that did release into the flat, but it was late. There's nobody at the sticks. So this is the play the Patriots run now on 2nd and 9. You two guys run down the field deep, and then the tight ends blocking at the last second, just go out. And they were still, 4 yards short of the sticks. So, and then more importantly, why didn't Newton run earlier in that game? They couldn't run with the backs. They couldn't pass. They didn't really start running with Newton, or he didn't start running on his own either way until the fourth quarter when 10 minutes left in the game. Where was that? Like, default, if the offense blows the way it did, and again, their first 7 possessions, they either got undermined by a turnover or a sack. Their first 7 possessions of the game, stop putting the ball in the air and let the quarterback run around a little.
Here's Adam in Sturbridge. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys, 2 quick things. First, ironically, it turns out that it's Brady that had to move on from Belichick when he did, because we all knew the situation with Belichick's age and contract situation. And secondly, I know I'm using hyperbole, but with each week of practice, Brady is turning Bruce Arians into Bill Belichick and Bill Belichick into Bruce Arians.
Well, let's see, Adam.
One good week.
Oh, exactly.
Let's calm down.
It was just 10 days ago. Tom Brady couldn't count to 4. Or 3, 4.
4.
There was your guy that couldn't count to 3. All of a sudden, Patriots quarterbacks, Hoyer, Brady, can't count. Hoyer couldn't get, he didn't know he had 3 timeouts, and Brady didn't know he had 4 downs. But let's see. Let's see how the Buccaneers respond to success.
It's lining up for Brady, though, because the entire Vegas offensive line is on the COVID list.
And something tells me Brady and Gronkowski are feeling pretty good about themselves. We'll give you an example of that here coming up. We did some Celtics trade talk earlier, wondering if, are we going to get Hoarder Danny this offseason or Trader Danny, the return of Trader Danny? Because I feel that roster needs to be pared down a little bit. I feel there's something about the pieces that don't quite work, whether it's Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart and or Gordon Hayward. And I'm not saying that Brown should be expendable. I'm saying it feels like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown are always in the middle of something, whether it's with each other or with other guys or something. And there's too many shooters where Jason Tatum doesn't get his, the stage to himself, whatever. I think the pieces don't quite work. And so something has to be pared down. So I think you've got too many cooks in the kitchen as it is, and you have 3 first-round picks. Is Danny going to just keep them all, hoard everything, keep Marcus Smart, keep Gordon Hayward, keep all those picks, or is he finally going to shake things up a little bit? And that was just what we talked about earlier. There are rumors that Indiana is interested in Gordon Hayward, and there was trade speculation, and there has been for a while, about Marcus Smart to Golden State, and Golden State has a 2nd overall pick, and is that enough? And would you, what would you throw in? Is that something you would want to do? They would want to do all of that. I just hope Dan does something. Danny does something to just change the DNA of the team, because I think it needs it, Maz.
I want a big guy. I told you I want them to fill a hole. They need a shooter too, but I want a big guy.
So that's all a way to reset. Brandon in Boston has a thought on this. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. If I can be really quick on the Pats and the Celtics. So I just want to say Aussie, 5 touchdowns in college, Bird 3 with Arizona. We got Marquise Lee. I don't know what happened to him, but he got 8 touchdowns with the Jags. Jacoby Myers, 26 receptions in 2019 that gets 1 this season. If I'm the coach, I'm sending down Edelman and I'm sending down Harry because they're not producing. Can you please tell me what happened to Marquise Lee? Because I don't get it. He's a good player. So when I go to the Celtics,
quick,
Kemba Walker for Dinwiddie, and then Zach LaVine and Larry Nance and Drummond. How you feel about those guys?
Okay, Jimmy's going to have to jump in on that. I don't think Kemba Walker's tradable.
Marquise Lee was an opt-out, by the way.
I was going to say, yeah, he was gone before even camp, so he was an opt-out. He was one of those guys. Kemba Walker, I don't think has a tradable contract right now. He's a max guy, 30-plus million. How old is he? And he's got a shaky knee.
Age, right. Knee issue, that contract, you're not moving him. He's here.
I mean, I would move him, but I don't think that speaks to what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is there's an ego clash on that team. There's sort of it's a little childish, but it's this thing about whose team it is. You know, your team, my team, whose shot it is, who's the man when in the fourth quarter. You know, as a previous caller said when we were doing this, much earlier in the show, saying you look at him in the playoffs and the lasting images are the game gets tight, comes a nut-cutting time, and these guys start chucking threes. Everyone starts chucking threes, and then they go in the locker room and fight. And that's sort of like the lasting image of the Celtics in the playoffs here. Going got tough. They just launched threes and then went in the locker room and fought each other. And that's sort of how I'm going to remember this team. It's like, no, something's got to give this. But a long way of saying, I don't feel like Kemba Walker is in the middle of that.
No, me neither. No. I think they brought in Walker hoping he could be sort of the steadying force that Al Horford was in some way, and I'm not sure he was.
He's definitely not.
Look, at the end of the day, if we're talking about the core of the team, it's three guys. Okay, it's three. It's Tatum, it's Brown, it's Smart. Because those are the young core players that were high draft picks that you have built this whole thing around. It's those three guys. So if you're going to make a significant change, it's got to be one of those three. They already sent Horford out and brought in Walker. So, like, sending Hayward out's not going to do much either.
No, that's what I mean. Like, when I talk about changing the DNA, it's Smart.
Yeah, and I know who I would pick. I'd pick Smart. I'd move Smart. Because, again, as I sort of devise this formula, his ego-to-talent ratio is most out of whack.
Okay, so there's our Celtics thought. Back with all your wonderful calls on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They've got your drive home covered.
That's just one question for the people.
Felger and Mass.
There's so many questions for the people. My facilitation cup runneth over.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Garoppolo down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. Garoppolo throwing at the goal line. Touchdown. Garoppolo has time. Stands in. Going deep. Going for it all. And it's caught for the touchdown. Garoppolo for the end zone.
Garoppolo keeps play action, passes, caught, touchdown!
8-0, how does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
I never wanted you to be gone. They made me trade you because of Tom. Lord, I miss you.
He's got a lot of qualities that we admire in a quarterback.
I'll keep texting with my phone when you make a perfect throw. Jimmy, I miss you.
He's just so good.
Jim Murray's all-timers. Just this bed alone. Just keep this bed going the whole rest of the show.
When the Stones dipped their toes into disco in 1978, I believe it was.
So good. And the Belichick beatbox is just all-timer. Right back to your phones, as promised. Joe in Norwood on Jimmy G. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Naz, I'm sorry, man. I love you, but your Garoppolo take is the worst, most brutally played-out sports take of the last, like, 5 years. You're holding on to this thing. I swear it's just to troll listeners. Murray's 100% right. Garoppolo's a mediocre, injury-prone game manager. He's barely even the best quarterback on his team.
Okay, Joe.
I mean,
Joe, we can disagree on what Garoppolo is. Do you think Belichick wanted to keep him and that was his succession plan?
I do, but the whole concept of we should have traded Brady, I think, is ridiculous, because if we kept Garoppolo, we don't win that last Super Bowl.
Correct.
Right. Garoppolo doesn't. I mean, there's no way he goes into Kansas City.
No.
And beats the Chiefs.
Agreed.
Yes. Okay.
We agree on that.
So 2 years and one title of Brady versus 10 years of Garoppolo.
So I would take that title over watching Jimmy G go 10-6 and losing the wild card or divisional round for ten straight years.
Okay, well,
I'll take that win.
Yeah, well, you better hope the next guy doesn't go 6-10 for the next 10 years, because that's on the table too. But either way, you know, the thing that the Garoppolo's barely better than what they have there. Like, you understand, when Garoppolo got hurt, they went 4-12, and when he returned the next year, they went 13-3, and just this past year when
he went out, they lost both.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. That's sort of, I mean, I don't care to argue Garoppolo versus Beathard with you, but you're wrong. I mean, there's a big difference there between starting quarterbacks.
See, but again, people want to dump on the Garoppolo part of it, which is fine, because I think a lot of it is born out of their love for Brady. And so he's no Brady. Well, nobody is. And so there have been, 53 Super Bowls or whatever it is, 53, I think now. Only 18 quarterbacks have ever won a Super Bowl. 18. And so, realistically, your chances of finding another guy that's going to be a Brady or a Montana.
No, don't even go Brady Montana. It's going to be one of the 18.
Right. The chances of that, I looked it up based on the history of quarterbacks, it's like 9%. If you go by the pure math of it, 9%.
Yeah, so
that's your chances.
So you've got to be special. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not special. So
No, you have to be functional to even have a chance first. Start there. And he's functional. He's a competent NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they don't have one, Murray.
No, I think Cam Newton could be that.
Okay.
He's had a bad couple of weeks.
For a year. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone. And then you're right back in the same boat. So this is the problem that no one wanted to sort of deal with at the time, which is fine. Again, if you choose Brady in the short term, that's fine. Typically, those scenarios are pay now, pay later. I wanted to pay now. You guys didn't, which is fine, but it's now time to pay. You don't have a quarterback, and now you're searching.
It's great. Go ahead, Murray.
I had a Super Bowl quarterback stat for you, too. You know, 32 quarterbacks lost their Super Bowl debuts, as Garoppolo was one of those. Only six were ever able to return. Only three later went back and actually won that Super Bowl. Len Dawson, John Elway, Bob Greasy. Jimmy Garoppolo is no John Elway. He will not be part of that mix.
Yeah, look, I have serious concerns about that, too. None of that would have happened if you kept him. Anyway.
Okay, here's Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I think Bill was completely checked out last week. My question is, how aggressive do you think, given all the drama with Garoppolo and Kraft and everything else, how aggressive do you think he will coach against Jimmy G this weekend?
All right, fair question. I don't think Garoppolo's on his mind. It might be in different times. Like, if this were a Patriots team that were on its way to 12-4 in the division, and this was just another non-conference game that didn't really matter to them.
Oh, they'd lay down.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they'd lay down, Murray, but, like, that thing would be in his head about...
Don't make him look too bad.
Right, how do I position, you know, like, you could really... There's breathing room there to... Do what you wanted. Do you want to prop him up? Do you really want to bury him? Do you want to, like, I don't know, screw around. Late in the game, the game's in hand, go easy on him. Like, whatever, screw around. And I'm not telling you he would do that, but I'm saying in a normal year, you ask that question, fine, we could play around with it. This year, they have got to win this game, the Patriots do.
They need the win.
Yeah, screw around. The last thing on his mind should be Jimmy Garoppolo. He should be far, far more worried about Cam Newton, far, far more worried about the rightness of his team after the way they looked last week and their record and all of that. So, like, for Belichick, he doesn't have time to play around with his take, with his Jimmy Garoppolo take. That's for us.
And I think the best way to win it is to put it in Garoppolo's hands this week. Take Kittle out, don't let him run, and put the game in Garoppolo's hands and see what happens.
Tom and Quincy with a baseball thought. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the other day I got you guys just for a quick second at the end of your show, but the praise the other night of Mookie was over the top, to say the least. I've never seen a two for four performance get that kind of hype in my life. But I'll say this much. With Buck's comments aside, Buck and Rosenthal, did you guys hear what Alex Rodriguez had to say?
No.
Because his words were out of control. So I think he mentioned something like, well, it's not quite the same as selling Babe to the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right? Then he compared him to Roberto Clemente, and then he compared him a shade under Willie Mays. So listen, I get it. He's a very exciting player. He's a young guy. He's fun to watch. I get it. But can we please pump the brakes a little bit and let this kid do a little more before you put him in the class of maybe three of the top 10 players in the history of the sport?
Well, this is your side of the street, Mouse.
Yeah, look, I just thought it was way over the top. Kenny Rosenthal says he's LeBron James of baseball. And again, I understand what he means. But I would also tell you, LeBron James has been to 10 finals. He's arguably the greatest player in the history of his sport. I don't think he is, but he's in the discussion. Is Mookie really there yet? So, look, everybody's latching onto it for obvious reasons. He's the biggest change on the Dodgers. It looks like they're going to win the World Series. And in that, you know, the final few games of the NLCS and the first game of the World Series, he was dynamic. He was. He did all the stuff that we know he can do, including hit an opposite field home run. How do you like that? But, like, let's not go putting him up there with Ken Griffey and Willie Mays just yet. Not that far.
Okay, we got one more segment of your wonderful phone calls and just a quick look down in Tampa where it feels like, this is something we talked about before, how can the Buccaneers handle success? Is Bruce Arians going to keep them grounded down there? Because that, you know, that's been a problem for Arians in the past. Not necessarily how you deal with adversity, how do you deal with success? And it does feel, based on some appearances, that, well, Brady's feeling pretty good about himself and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. We'll give you that right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Belger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nice t-shirt, Tom.
Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate it. I love your glasses. Look at your shirt. That's awesome. Man. Hey, Robbie G, you know, I think you're one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah, you're just, you know, you're thank so kind to everybody and so sweet. Oh, it's hard for me to even imagine how someone could be mean to you.
I know.
And say mean things.
What? Who's trying to be
it
mean?
It kind of hurts my feelings. I've actually pulled a few just to kind of see what's out there. And it's mean tweets.
Mean tweets?
Yeah, mean tweets.
Oh, people are so mean on the internet, Tom.
I know.
They're so mean.
I but think.
To our face, they're like, But on the internet, they're so mean.
And in person, they're so sweet. And then that's, I think, what you call trolls, haters, you know, all the above. But you know what?
Just brush those.
It doesn't matter. We have fun with it, and we're certainly going to have fun with a few of these.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Brady and Gronkowski get a good win under their belts. Gronkowski finally wakes up. Brady beats Aaron Rodgers. And they're back in their tank tops by the kiddie pool.
That thing was embarrassing.
In front of the pirate ship with Gronky and Tommy.
Good tone in Tom's arms.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah, he looks like he's in good shape.
No. They look great. Tremendous. No doubt about it. But you think they're feeling pretty good about themselves?
Oh, my gosh. That thing, honestly, I was watching it this morning going, this is embarrassing. really, this is embarrassing. It wasn't funny. The first one that they did, my recollection was, I kind of thought, oh, this is reasonably amusing. This one was pathetic.
Well, let's hear the first one, shall we?
It was pathetic.
We have it on the simulcast as well. So if we sync these up, play them at the same time, you'll get the same thing. Here's this first mean tweet.
Someone said to me, and this wasn't long ago, I hope you have a bad birthday at Tom Brady. Thanks, box jelly. I mean, really sweet of you.
Oh, I don't even think that one was mean. You know when someone says, like, I hope you have a bad birthday, meaning, like...
She meant good.
Yeah, like, that's good what way. She like, meant. I hope you have a bad birthday, man. Like, I think that's how she was trying to say
maybe
it.
Maybe she meant, you might hope you have a badass birthday. Yeah. Like, a killer birthday.
Exactly.
Really cool.
She's a Bucks fan.
Yeah, she's got to be.
Bucks jelly. All right, here we go. My turn. What that they say one wasn't even mean.
That was sweet.
We turned that one
this
around.
This should be called nice See? Tweets.
This thing is like George and Lenny.
Seriously. Like, seriously. Joke, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, no. I mean, they've been doing this now since they got down there, and I'm sure that the podunk Tampa fans down there love this. Like, what are you doing?
Murray, they did one before the season. Have they done one since?
I don't know.
I think there's been three. Total,
have there?
I think.
So I missed the one in between? Well, damn it. I don't know. Maybe they were just waiting for Gronkowski to wake up. It's one thing to come off of a big win over the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and Gronkowski scores a touchdown, and they're feeling good. Okay, you know, go ahead. Sit in the kids' pool and grab ass. It's another thing when you lose track of the downs against the Bears. I don't think they shot one the week after that game.
I would hope not.
But you never know there with old win-lose-we-booze. That's the whole deal. Win-lose, we're going to go in the kiddie pool and grab ass.
I mean, I thought this was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen, this particular one.
You want another one?
Yeah.
Okay, now this is I'm going to apologize in advance for making you listen to Rob Gronkowski try to read. But that's what happens here. Let's get a Gronk tweet, number three, both of you guys.
Daniel Stahl at How High. Man, he runs heavy. Looks like he's carrying 1,000 pounds of weight when he runs. The dude is huge. His catching ability is crazy. That tip ball he caught plus keeping his feet in, that's insane. So he went on making fun of me, and then he started writing that the dude is huge. His catching ability is crazy. The tip ball he caught is unbelievable.
So then he buttered you up.
Yeah, he buttered me up.
So that's not even a mean tweet. That's like a neutral tweet.
These guys are so nice.
I know. I'm telling you, we have great fans here.
I
think these are the nicest fans I've ever heard.
They're trying to be mean, but they can't be.
Why is he trying to butter me up there, Tom? Oh, George, can I have the rabbits? Why do they do this to themselves? They're not doing themselves any kind of service by doing these kind of videos. Again, that might work for the podunk idiots down in Tampa. We got superstars to root for now. Yay. But for the, like, what? Come on.
How about kids online? Do they fall for that stuff? They do, don't they?
In the morning, when I splash it on, it makes me smeal manly.
Smeal manly. Smeal manly.
Smeal manly.
I can't imagine. Like, kids are like into TikTok stars. They don't care about football players doing this kind of nonsense.
And then I splash it on and I smell like a jungle rat. Cat.
It's a Rocky 2. In case you didn't. So they feel the need. It's Murray. It's social media presence, right? And that's what it's about. Yes.
Oh God. I hate the content overload.
This doesn't even qualify as content. This is like the most embarrassing, pathetic thing I've ever seen. It's really bad.
If you're listening on the radio and you don't see it, the key is that Brady does look fabulous. I mean, seriously.
Like, he's kind of semi, not shredded, but like, I don't remember seeing him that toned.
He looks shredded, not a wrinkle on him. I mean, there's no close up on him, but not a wrinkle on his face. Hair perfect. Like, seriously, what is he doing? And give me some of it.
Protect.
HGH.
There you go. You want one more Gronk? You want one more Gronk?
Fine.
Come on, guy. Give me number four. Let's do it.
Come on, let's hear the meanest one you got.
All right. First look at Gronk in a Buccaneers uniform. And then Aiden Antoninitis. He's got tendonitis.
Oh, gosh.
So he's hurting already. So that's why he's writing mean tweets.
Okay.
Yeah. He looks fat, he writes.
To you.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's so mean. Ruben M. How is old busted down Gronk a 95 rating? Hasn't played in a year. No way. Nobody has ever come back from a year in retirement to a 95 rating. Nobody. Well, I did. So that's one person.
And then one more. Brady, McCoy, and Gronk are like 120 years old combined. I think we are.
Close, but not quite. Almost. Yeah. Not quite.
Thank you. We age well then.
Yes, we did.
It's tough, isn't it, Murray?
Like a fine wine, we age. But, like, he's got the comedic chops of an eighth grade jock. I can't pronounce the Greek last name, so he's, like, got tendonitis.
No way.
God.
Is that the cat? Would you say George and Lenny? Is that the
Mice and Men? Yeah.
Is that
Mice
the, and Men? Which way did he go, George? Which
way? Tell us about the rabbit. Tell me about the rabbits, Tom.
Which way did he go? Which?
All right. So that's what's going on down in Tampa.
With the both of them, really, especially Gronk. Like I got tired of his act here at the end. But with the both of them, just lead it to the field.
They just wanted to have fun.
Tom's an unrelatable weirdo. Gronk is just obnoxious.
This is what they wanted. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't want the hard times. They didn't want to grind it out in the Northeast with, you know, gloom and doom there in Foxborough. And so they got their feet in the kiddie pool grab-assing with meme tweets.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating, too. When I was sitting at my desk this morning watching this, I started to get sick. I thought, this is so sad that these two have turned into this. It is so sad. I felt like I was watching iconic figures, like at the end, not, you know, like a singer not being able to perform on stage or something. I went, oh my God, this is so pathetic. This is I almost felt bad. I felt bad listening to Gronk read those tweets.
I don't feel bad for Tom. Not one bit. All right, so back, we'll just zip through some calls here before we hit the final word. Adam in the car, what do you got for us?
Which way did he go?
Oh, dang, I got to follow that. All right, so. I just wanted to ask you guys a real quick thing about the quarterback situation where in the future, obviously the team really likes to go for those prove-it deals for a lot of those positional players.
Yeah.
Obviously the quarterback's different and they want that franchise guy. They don't want to pay those second-tier guys that big of money. Do you think it would be appealing to do those prove-it deals with a couple of quarterbacks?
They've done it. I don't know what you're talking about. Cam Newton, 1 year, $1 million, $7 million in incentives. It's exactly what he got. He got the worst prove-it deal of all of them. From Corey Dillon to Randy Moss to Darrell Revis, they all sort of signed those kind of deals. Cam Newton took by far the least, by far the worst of all of those. So that's exactly what he has.
So, but is this like...
And I think Bill loves the prove-it deal.
Okay, and you know, I'm not against it either. It's hard to do a quarterback, though, because it's...
Yeah, how do you get anyone good for a prove-it deal?
Right. And not only that, but if you're going to sign him on a prove-it deal and really develop and build a system... You've got to re-sign the guy and pay him. So what are you going to do, prove it deals a quarterback and just rotate in a new guy every year? That's no plan. You do that, like you said, then you are the Miami Dolphins.
Wow, speaking of the Miami Dolphins, Pat and Franklin, what's your thought?
So this is going right to my point. Nobody's talking about this, but I'm going to. It's happening. The changing of the guard in the AFC East starts Sunday. Buffalo's angry. They're getting healthy. They're going to smoke a college team. And Tony's boy... In San Francisco, they're going to be a poorly constructed and less talented roster, including the quarterback. It's starting to show. It's going to be ugly next week for the Pats in Buffalo. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Pat. Look forward to hearing from you next week. I do find the Miami thing fascinating, where they had it. They won three out of their last four. They're contending with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think he's in the top 10 in the league. In like anyway, go ahead.
They'd won, I think, two in a row and three of their last four.
Yeah. I think this thing's premature. Maybe it is, you know, but it's too early to
it's
say.
Predetermined.
It's predetermined. It's the changing of the guard here with quarterbacks and everything and how everything's going to, you know.
Asinine. Let's see them, you know, string together some games and some seasons before we, I'm not willing
but
to
given
say that.
But given Ryan Fitzpatrick's, you know, whining after he heard this news, you do feel it was predetermined?
Oh, I feel like it was. They didn't tell him. They obviously didn't tell him.
Okay.
Because he didn't, like, you know, yeah, he was, Jesus, I mean. Ryan, like,
it's like they shot his dog.
You're just a career backup, man. Like, what do you think you are? His reaction. So he clearly wasn't told. But I think it's also clear the Dolphins and Flores and is Greer the GM, you know, whoever the power structure there is, Miami, said, we're going to get to the bye. It'll take 2 weeks, and that's when we'll make the transition. And they got to the bye, and even though Fitzpatrick is, I don't know if on fire, but certainly hot, two in a row, three out of four, they sit him. For the rookie who's super talented and could be the future, but...
Enjoy your first game against Aaron Donald chasing you the whole game.
I don't know. I think that might... I don't know. The ceiling's higher, but the floor is lower, right? It could go either way with them in Miami. Maybe, you know, long-term Tua should be good, and, like, I'm not making a long-term assessment of him, but rookie. They're now going to a rookie quarterback, and he plays more athletically than Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick definitely runs around, but Tua's left-handed versus right-handed, far more mobile. Like, you sort of put the thing on your ear. You have to change your whole strong side, weak side with a left-handed quarterback. You know, so, like, you're changing that whole thing when you just got him going and contending for the division. So they had it, I think, in their mind to go bye week with him in the first place, and we'll see if it's a mistake.
I don't mind it. I mean, they used a high pick on the guy. Typically, those quarterbacks play right away. They obviously said we're going to slow him down either because of the injuries or no preseason or both. We'll target week eight or week whatever week this is. I can't keep track with all seven. The COVID crap anymore.
Whatever it is.
For crying out loud.
You called it six earlier.
Seriously, though, it changes. It's like usually you go by the number of games
they
play.
We spent too much time on this as it is.
God, it's just, it drives me crazy. But that said, like, I don't mind it. The Dolphins aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. They know that. They got to develop the kid. I think it's a good move.
I think you can be developed on the bench just as easily. Just as easily. Pat Mahomes sat all year. Or, like, till the last week or two, right? Like,
yeah.
He sat. He sat. So, like, I think you can develop sitting on the bench.
They had a real player in front of him, though.
Let's just take the last call here on, let's do a Rick and Redding on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Rick.
Rock and roll. What's up? Ashley, I want to say, man is a bitch. I mean,
yes, that was a mistake. I picked the wrong guy.
Clearly,
it happens.
Let's wrap up the show and the week with the worst possible color. Rock and roll.
Yeah, I can tell from the second he opened his mouth. Yeah, that was a waste.
Yeah, here we go.
That was a waste.
All right, my bad.
Total mistake.
Final word. We'll redeem ourselves in the final word right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody, nope. Jimmy.
All right, we have two things to choose from here.
Nice. Fresh?
Yeah.
Freshies?
Yeah. One is a Mookie Catch Combo, it's labeled.
Oh, I know exactly what this is. This is Maz in full Mookie denial mode saying that was not a home run that he saved.
And then there's another one labeled Conversion Confusion. Which would you like to start with?
Conversion Confusion. I can also remember this one. Hold on, stand by. Conversion Confusion.
Doo-doo-doo.
Well, let's start.
Something
with
to do with math.
No, it's some stupidity, but right. It'll come to me. Go ahead. What do you got? If there's that two score thing, and it's I'm just do this off the top of my head, so my numbers might not be exactly right. But if it's in this situation, and you're going to need a 2 point either on your first touchdown or your second, they are now going for the two on that first one, making it 8 point game, and going for it on the second.
Okay, I think that's stupid because if you miss, now you need two scores.
Okay, so, but either way, you're going to need a two-pointer on one of the two possessions.
Yeah, but now you need three possessions instead of two.
But you're still going to need the two-pointer.
No, once you miss the first one, you don't need the second two-pointer.
Well, yes, you do, Maz.
So, no, because you've only scored 14 then.
I'm begging you not to do this on the
Mike, you're missing the point.
You're down 15 points.
Right, so if you miss two on the first one, you get it the second time, you're still down one.
Don't yell at me. You go for two, you've missed it, now you need the third possession. You're going to need the two-pointer on one of those two possessions. And if you miss it, you're going to need a third. Get it?
Oh, I get it.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it. You shouldn't need the third possession if you kick the extra point the first time. You're down eight.
Right.
Touchdown and then the two-pointer. If you kick. If you don't kick, now you need two possessions.
Don't yell at me. Teams are going for two on that first one.
I think that's stupid.
So it's just, you can't do it on the air.
Well, I don't know. That turned into a pretty good little
You can't do it on the air. It just never works.
There's some comedic value in that.
And we have this.
Did you watch the Dodgers and Mookie Betts this weekend, Maz?
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, so come on. What'd you think?
He still didn't have a great series. I mean, he hit .269. No home runs. He made a nice catch against the outfield wall that was overrated.
A couple catches.
Okay. The one up against the wall, overrated. Not that tough a play.
Saved a home run.
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
No, it didn't.
It did.
Watch the replay. He was not above the line.
Saved a home run.
Ah, no, it didn't.
It didn't?
No, it didn't.
Did it. I watched it several times.
He was not above the line.
Saved a home run.
No, it didn't. It did not save a home run.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
No,
yes,
it didn't. No, it didn't. He did not have a great series.
But
he still didn't have a great series. No home runs.
But
not surprised that the Dodgers won. I'm not rooting for the Rays.
Isn't that bad for baseball, though?
It is. Go Tampa.
I changed my mind on that one. I got a root for the Dodgers now. It's unbelievable.
It just perfectly encapsulates the rank stupidity on this particular program.
Boy, does it ever.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.